This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Chua Ng Teck. My guest today is Nikki Coombs, the executive principal of Beacon House, Newlands and Sri Nai International Schools. She was previously the principal of Newlands, helping launch its Cheras campus in 2014. Nikki, congratulations and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be here.
So, 3-4 months into your new role, what is your new responsibilities? Has it just gotten a lot more within the Beacon House family?
I think taking on a second school is obviously a challenge, both in dividing your time and making sure that you're giving both schools your full attention. It's been great to be given that opportunity because obviously I've been part of Beacon House for 4 years and I've visited Sri Nai. So I've been part of it, but a little bit on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. So now I've got the opportunity to look at really the good things it does, the strengths that it has, and really build on those and look at the two schools, bringing the two schools together and bringing them, you know, both Beacon House International Schools forward to excellence. Right. It's a great opportunity, a very exciting opportunity. I'm somebody that really enjoys a challenge, and I feel that with challenge comes opportunity wherever you are. So it's been one of those roller coaster 3 months, getting used to driving between the two, meeting a whole new set of parents, a whole new set of staff, children, and learning a little bit about everybody, what their vision is, what they really want for the school, and just starting really to put together the plans for the future for both schools.
Yeah. What is the challenge you reckon for private education in Malaysia going forward? Are we, because we hear a lot about the proliferation of schools, foreign campuses coming in and setting up their presence in Malaysia. Are we at a saturation point, you think, or is there still much room for growth?
Okay, I think when I first came 4 years ago and I came to Beacon House, there was a lot of room for private international schools and the growth of private international schools. There were a lot of parents looking for different types of education, exploring different aspects of education, and for some really wanting that international feel to what they wanted to give their children in ready to set them up for their career path and their lifelong journey. I think now, as you say, over the last couple of years, even the time I've been in Malaysia, a lot of new schools have been set up. There are still a lot of children out there available to all of us, but I do think quite soon, whereas the balance was that there were more customers really for the private international education group. Now we're getting to the point where we may come to a tipping point, and the tipping point will be that it will reverse and that the numbers of students really available to all of us will drop, particularly when you look now at the new Minister of Education, who's looking to really improve education in Malaysia. We really have got to sit up and keep our game high.
There's more competition now coming from the national schools as well.
And from lots of different types of education. We're not just looking at Malaysian education versus British education. You know, we have schools from Australia, from Canada, India, all across the world, all bringing the best of their education to Malaysia.
Hmm. So as the executive principal, how much do you worry about the commercial side of business? Or have you always been worried about that, even as a school principal previously?
Commercial and numbers is always part of it. But for me, I really focus on the children, the education that we're giving the children, the opportunities that we're giving. And what I really want is for these children to come to school in the morning, be really excited about coming to school, running up the Beacon House stairs, big smiles on their faces, seeing their friends, seeing their teachers, and really instilling in them the love of education and really wanting to learn. Obviously, I need to grow the schools. I need to keep the numbers up. I need to keep Beacon House happy because no commercial business, whether it's in education, whatever it is, can run continuously at a loss. But really, I feel that that side of it will come if your product is good, if what you say you do, you actually do, then you won't have any issues with the commercial side.
So you alluded to the fact that we have a new environment within the education space. So over the past maybe decade, there has been a string of favorable policies for international players like yourself, you know, the removal of restrictions for foreign ownership, removal of quota for local students in the student body. Going forward, if you get, I guess, a sit-down with the new education minister, what would be your pitch to him and how you'd like his ministry to approach private education going forward? Would it be more regulation in terms of all the homeschooling centres coming up, doubling up as, you know, international schools or private schools? Yeah. Or would you like to see more of the same of deregulation and allowing kind of the market to dictate may the best school win, you know, the students or the parents?
I think with the market, you have to have some form of regulation. I think with education, these are children's lives. And I think it's really important that Malaysia and the Ministry of Education make sure that everything that is being provided for their children is of a high standard, because ultimately those children are the leaders for Malaysia for tomorrow. So I think there is some regulation required. But I also think that when you look at all the schools, I think the Malaysian schools need to work with the international schools and work together rather than against. It's not a them and us. You know, we're all wanting the same end for our children here in Malaysia. You know, with the Beacon House schools, we're looking for those children to go out and really represent the Beacon House education they've had in Malaysia and really be at the forefront of Malaysia in the future. So I think regulation is important to make sure that the standard of what we're providing for these children is to the highest possible for them. But also, let's all work together and let's bring the best from everything and take it forward. I think it's one of those situations where when there's a little gap in the market, people will find it. You know, whatever it is, they will find it. But you just have to be aware and make sure that whatever type of school you are setting up, what you're giving is the best possible education for those children.
I see on your website that in your welcome message to visitors that you strive to, and I'm quoting here, consistently encourage students to develop self-confidence and self-discipline in a caring environment, end quote. Can I get you maybe to elaborate on what this means in terms of how you develop your curriculum?
Okay. I think one of the things I'm quite passionate about is the pastoral side of education as well as the academics. If you have a happy child will learn. So you have to make sure that the education that they come to is accessible to them. If you have a classroom where the children are lectured to, don't participate, are not able to ask questions, are not able to try things out, actually they will just sit and listen, and they will expect when they go out into the world of work that everybody will tell them what to do. And we all know that that's not true. So what I want for these children is to be confident in maybe making a mistake, trying things out, trying really hard to review what they've done, and not to fall apart if a mistake is made, but to say, okay, this bit went well, this bit didn't go quite so well, so what resources have I got that I can then use again to have another go? children, as they grow up, need to have the confidence to try new things. Opportunity is put in front of them, and we all know and hear the term a reluctant teenager. but we need to make things exciting for them. The more they try, some things they won't like, and that's the same for all of us. But a lot of things maybe they've never seen before, they've never had a go, they've never heard of, and they suddenly find this one thing that is their real passion, and it will take them on a lifelong journey. So for me, the classroom needs to be very supportive. It needs to be a place where they can try things out, they can develop their confidence. The activities that are provided there will enhance the confidence they have, will enhance their growth, will enhance their skill set, as well as giving them the knowledge that they will need to apply to these different situations.
I'm speaking today to Nikki Coombs, Executive Principal of Beacon House Newlands and Sri Nai International Schools. We'll talk more about managing parents' expectation after this short break. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. You're listening to Live and Learn. I'm Trot and Take. With me in the studio today is Nikki Coombs, Executive Principal of Beacon House Newlands and Sri Nai International Schools. Nikki, did you always know that you wanted to be an educator or a teacher?
My real passion was sport. Particularly at school, I played county netball, I played county hockey, I was also a swimmer. So I really loved sport, but in doing that in school, as I grew up and was in the senior years of school, actually I got the opportunity to coach the younger children. My real thinking was originally to go into sports rehabilitation. For athletes. But a friend of mine who was the year above me had gone to college. She'd gone to PE college with a view to being to teaching. So she said, come to the college. Why don't you apply? Come see whether you like it. So actually, I had a fantastic time. We were exposed to lots of opportunity in school, coaching young children. And I just found that actually it was something that I could do really well. And I could empathize with the children. And I loved it. So I went overseas, first of all, to teach. And then when I came back to the UK, I still followed the path in sport, but what that did is it gave me lots of chances to take leadership roles, become part of different aspects of school, be involved in all parts of school. So then I just loved it and I just carried on, really. Yeah. I think I was given so many different opportunities that it was constantly, I was constantly being challenged to do more and to do better. And I think that's what really gave me that chance to actually come to Malaysia.
Yeah, I've read that you began your teaching career in the Greek city of Lamia.
Yes.
That must have been fun.
It was very interesting because it's a very different style of education, and particularly at that time, it was very... the teacher dictated a lot to the students. There was very little practical work in there. So it was really interesting as a very young teacher, bringing things into the classroom that were slightly different for the children. It was a little bit out of their comfort zone. But, you know, once they got used to different activities, so even then we were looking at pair work, group work, project work, discussing things, role play. So that really... I think inspired me to carry on and to try and, you know, do some great things for children.
Yeah. Since then, you spent a big part of your career in the UK education system.
Yeah.
Tell me about the story leading up to when you got the call from Beacon House to come to Malaysia and what went through your mind when you got that call?
Okay. I, as I said before, in the UK, was very, very lucky with the jobs I had, with the responsibilities that people gave me, which gave me a really broad skill set. And that's something in my mind that when I look at these Beacon House children, I want them to, when they come to my age, to be able to say the same thing, and that schools set them up to be able to take on all sorts of different responsibilities. So for me, I had been in a situation where I'd led a school. I'd been in a situation where I'd turned a failing school around. I'd been a chair of governors. So there are lots and lots of different things that I'd done. So what I could have done is I could have changed schools and been a head of school in the UK. But although all schools are different, actually a lot of it would have been very similar. So hearing about Beacon House Newlands and the opportunities that were there to really build that school and set it up really excited me. It was, I think it was twofold. I think it was the excitement of having that challenge of a completely new school, which is a very rare opportunity for people to get in education, but also to come overseas where culturally everything is very, very different. So, yeah, I decided that I'd just do it. So I leapt on the plane and here I come and I'm still here. So it was one of those things where it was never in that time did I ever think I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have come to Malaysia. At every step, I used to sit there right at the beginning and say, okay, we've done that. We managed that. We've moved in this direction. We've achieved this. We've achieved this. We've achieved this. So once again, what Beacon House has done for me is it's given me the opportunity for growth in myself, but also to be able to work with all these children that come through Beacon House, not only in Malaysia, but on a global perspective. So, yeah. And it's still exciting, yeah. You know, coming to Innai now, it's, you know, it's another step, new challenges, you know, expectations. And yeah, it's been one of the best moves I made, I would say.
Were you familiar or had any connection with education or people in this part of the world?
Okay. I knew two people I worked with had relations in Malaysia, and a parent of two girls who I'd taught previously had big connections here. So I had a little bit, but it was really, it was a blind coming out here. I'd never been here before. So, I think if you ask people that know me here and in the UK, they will say that actually I'm up for anything. Because I work on the principle that if you don't give it a go, you will never know. And that's what I really like to try and instill in the children as well in school. If you have a go, if you don't like it, it doesn't matter. But at least you've had a go and you won't ever have any regrets.
So talk to me about some of the adjustments that you have to make in transitioning to managing this international school in Malaysia.
The biggest adjustment was the cultural side of it, and knowing how to approach actually essentially three different types of culture as well within one country, which you don't normally get. So it's about managing a different parental expectation and their expectation of not only what they're aspiring to for their child, but the journey that they're going on. So I think for me, that probably was the biggest part of it. I had been used to dealing with parents in all sorts of different situations, so that wasn't difficult. I would say that for every challenge, whatever I'm approached, I used something from any of the schools that I'd been in previously. I think because of the broad range of experience I was able to gain, I could use that. There was always something I could relate to, even if it wasn't exactly the same, it was similar, and I was able to take those skills, take the way I'd approached that, to use it here in Malaysia. So it's the same with the children, really. It's about thinking, okay, what did I do in that situation before? okay, maybe it wasn't quite as successful. How would I adapt it? And actually, this is what I'm going to do now. Mm-hmm. So it helped a lot having broad experience in the UK. It didn't actually hinder me at all, not having been in overseas for a long time. And I think always for me, and what I would say to any student is look at all the experiences you've had and look at how you can use them to take yourself forward and really push yourself a little bit further forward.
Mm-hmm. Within the student body, how do you encourage diversity of thinking among a student body that is almost entirely perhaps homogenous in their socioeconomic mm-hmm. background? Because mm-hmm. Private education or international education is not a cheap proposition. Mm. And so how do you encourage diversity or empathy without the pitfalls of economic segregation or social stratification?
Okay, I think there are several aspects to that. I think being part of Beacon House, which is across 8 countries, really helps that. So we're able to link with children across the world who are from all different backgrounds, from different countries. And the Beacon House schools are at very, very many levels. It's very much an education system for all, as opposed to just for the elite. So I think there, where our children can interact with other children, that really helps. I think also, although obviously for me, I'm working with the 2 international schools, we also have private national schools. And we also, the children are exposed to lots of activities and opportunities with different areas of Malaysia through things like the Duke of Edinburgh International Award, where they do community service, they go out and they learn new skills. So I think broadening the education so it's not just in the classroom but taking it out of the classroom will give the children exposure to that. It's an interesting question because actually back in the UK it was exactly the same. And it is difficult when you're in a fee-paying school. You do have to make sure that that all children there empathise with every aspect of society. And I think the good thing about Beacon House is it's so broad that they get those opportunities there. But we're very much looking not just in the classroom but outside the classroom as well, and making sure that the activities that we do, the exposure we give them, is to broaden their thinking rather than to keep it too fixed, and to really look at their give them a flexible mindset so that when they approach different things, they think about and empathize with where people are coming from, people's different views. So even activities like debating, public speaking, those types of things where they're researching all sorts of different aspects of life, maybe different questions that are coming up through politics or just, you know, through the media, maybe looking at Model United Nations again, where that also gives you all huge different aspects of life, and really models, as it says, models itself on the United Nations. Those activities will broaden their exposure and make them think in lots of different ways. The children contribute to assemblies, so they will often take a subject of interest, be it in Malaysia or be it outside Malaysia, in different from different countries, and will present that for the rest of the school. So I think, again, I think schools are all about opportunity. Opportunity is the big, big thing. And if you give them opportunity and you give them the chance to really experience as many things as you can, then they will have a very broad mindset, and their thinking actually will be very broad, and they'll be able to approach whatever it is that comes up and is there in front of them.
So providing this experience requires good teachers, I suppose.
Yeah.
Talk to me about your hiring process. What do you look for when making new hires and in your teachers?
I look for teachers that maybe have something else, not just a teaching experience, but maybe have something else. So it might be in sport, it might be in music, it could be in drama, but something where, or they may even have come from business. So something where they have a much broader view of life than just coming from school. I look for teachers who, in their teaching experience, have got a broad range of experience, and also for teachers who are open to trying new things, are not fearful of making a mistake. Teachers who love children, that's a said, you know, you have to have that. Also, you know, in some circumstances, if I quite like to take newly qualified teachers, because it's quite nice to bring them into the environment and to give that sort of on-the-job experience where they've done their training, they've done their internship, and then they can use everything that they've learned in the classroom, and to give them that really supportive environment to take them further in their teaching career. But at both schools, we have a very broad range of teachers with interesting backgrounds, that bring a lot of different things to school. We also have teachers who have performed at a high level in different aspects of life. And I think if you can look at how they got there, so the dedication that they've put in, the hard work that they've put in, how they've managed their time with their studies, as well as maybe following a dream in sport or in music, the children can see that it's not just, I've got to study, I've got to do this, I've got to do this. It's actually you can balance your time, and that every aspect of what you do will benefit you in the future. And if you have a dream, you can keep your academics, but you can also follow that dream and achieve gold medals.
Yeah. It's very interesting that you two look for teachers who have different life experience to bring into the classroom, because I think a common refrain that a lot of teachers say to students nowadays is that they are preparing kids for future jobs that do not yet exist.
Yeah.
Do you think then, more and more so, that this idea of a person sticking to one company in one role and progressively getting promoted or go up the corporate ladder, is that increasingly an outmoded way of thinking of how you grow a career?
I think there will be there'll be a lot more movement in the job market. I think when we look now, I think there will also be jobs in 20 years that we would never even have thought of today. So I think that when you prepare the children, not only are you looking at them gaining the knowledge, but they have to have the soft skills on how to adapt and how to approach new situations. I don't think we will lose that side of starting at the bottom and moving through progression-wise. But I do think that there will also be a lot more opportunity for entrepreneurship, for young people having ideas and actually following those ideas. I think, you know, years ago, very few people would actually think, okay, I've got this idea, I really want to do it, I really want to have a go at it. It was very traditional that you started at the bottom and you moved through a company and you stayed with that same company for your whole working life. I think there'll be a lot more movement. I think people will take opportunities. They will move. I think now that you can move overseas very easily, I think people will be a lot more adventurous in the job that they take and the career paths that they follow. I think, you know, some of our teenagers now, if you ask them in 30 or 40 years' time, will have had probably several different careers. But that's all, you know, that makes life exciting. Change is a great thing. And it's, you know, I'm excited for them because I think they will be able to do so much and will be able to achieve so much.
Yeah. Perhaps I can get you to leave a final message on what makes a good candidate for international school. What would your message to parents be?
Okay, so I think parents, when you're looking for schools, you really need to look at your child and look at what's best for your child in the school. I think you need to find a school where you have lots of opportunities and that your child will really enjoy being there. To the children, my message would be, take up every single opportunity that's given to you, because you never know, something that you really have never thought of and you look at and think, oh no, I could never do that, actually could be your success story.
I wish I had someone to tell me that when I was younger. Nikki, it's been a pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you so much.
If you missed any part of this interview, you can download the podcast via our BFM app, available on Google Play or the Apple App Store. Thank you for listening. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.